You're listening to the Pinball Podcast with Don and Jeff.
Hey, welcome to the Pinball Podcast, episode 83. Today is, June 20th, 2016. My name is Don, and with me, as always, is Jeff. How are you doing, Jeff?
It's first day of summer, Don.
Happy first day of summer.
Yeah, it's a hot one.
Yes, very hot. Let's talk about the weather for like 20 minutes.
No. I know you're not joking about that, and that's a topic you love, but let's not do that.
You know what other topic I love, Jeff?
Something that's just as hot as summer as far as their deals and...
Hot deals, cool bulbs over at pinballbulbs.com. That's right.
Oh.
NiftyLED.com, Jeff. NiftyLED.com, your source for pinball LEDs, balls, tools, and more. Check out NiftyLED.com. You get free shipping over $100, $6 flat rate shipping under $100, and this is a Pinball Podcast exclusive. Use coupon code MILLIONAIRE for 5% off your order.
You don't become a millionaire by spending an extra 5% for LEDs.
Sure, no.
And if you want to know the secret to becoming a millionaire, they've written a guide, which we're going to give away on this show. I didn't tell you about that, did I? Well, I did, but it was like 3 weeks ago.
I saw the picture. Yeah, it was a while back.
Okay.
Do tell.
If you want to win Nifty LEDs, How to Become a Millionaire guide, which is pretty fantastic, do something and you can win it.
Email us, pinballpodcast@gmail.com, with the subject line millionaire to win the How to Become a Millionaire by Daniel and Hollywood Nate.
Extra points if you include a picture of a pinball machine with tasteful LEDs.
Yes. Or purple GI.
Pink GI.
Pink GI, get bonus points.
Blue GI.
Okay, so Jeff and I are trying something different. We're going to try and keep this podcast under 90 minutes, which is hasn't been done in years on this show.
Yeah, on any pinball podcast, really, except for
well, you got except for the popular ones that have lots of listeners, like Coast to Coast.
Okay, except rest for anyone that has multiple hosts, anyway.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is we have two other little sponsor coupons. Let's do them at the end, though. Stay tuned to save more than 5% from some of our other sponsors.
Savings on the back end, boys.
And we're going to mix it up a little. Jeff, how about we get our hot news out of the way right away? This is the first time we've recorded and hot news dropped yesterday instead of tomorrow.
Hot and ready?
Hot and ready in 30 minutes.
Yeah, we won't make them wait 30 minutes for this news.
So.
Okay.
Also, if I sound weird, I left my headphones in the other room, and I'm using my backup ones, and I can't hear myself talk, which is weird.
You sound like a cartoon character. Don't worry.
Okay, good.
Good.
I feel like I have a really bad head cold. Okay, anyway, let's talk about the hot and ready.
Yeah. Domino's Pizza Pinball Adventure was finally unveiled fully, so.
Yes.
What
do you think? First impressions.
First impressions, it looks like it looks like a mashup between America's Most Haunted and Rob Zombie, but it looks like more flowy than both of them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like faster.
It's got a more liberal fan outlet.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, my heart's stopping.
The pizza dude on the art is jacked, and...
That's okay.
I love the art, actually. I think it's very fun. It's very playful and inviting.
It's crisp and clean and bright.
Yeah.
It fits the theme perfectly.
Have you seen the video by any chance?
No, I did not watch the video. If people don't know what we're talking about, Spooky Pinball made a Domino's pinball machine. It was commissioned by Domino's Pizza, and it was unveiled yesterday at some sort of Domino's shareholder conference or something.
I would like to call it the Domino Rally.
Yes. What about the video? I did not see it.
No, I haven't either. I guess when I checked out the thread, they were uploading the pictures. Apparently, there is a video. they're having an issue getting it up. So I was wondering if it made it online or any of that stuff. So it may have. So it's just wondering if you had, but
no,
if not, I'd love to know how it sounds, but it looks
cool. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, it looks very basic, but professional. And yeah, it looks like something I can't wait to try and play.
Yeah, and I mean, I've been lucky enough to play America's Most Haunted extensively, which is crazy given that there's, what, only 150?
150, I think, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm guessing that there will be at least that many dominoes out there, so.
Yeah, you can buy one now, or you can order it anyway. There's not a limit, but I guess franchisees have first crack, and there is an LE that is only for Domino's franchise owners.
Yeah.
I don't know what the difference is, but.
So, yeah, I don't know what the difference is either. Usually with Spooky, it's just art, but I don't know. Like, it looks like it's going to be fun. I like the all the stand-ups in the upper right. It was kind of a longer shot from the bottom left flipper. I've been getting into these, like, long, challenging shots lately, and that looks like to scratch that itch for me. But I wasn't quite clear. Is that right ramp, it goes up and it turns and it goes into the pizza oven and then...
It looks like it goes in the pizza oven and maybe the ball drops out the back of it.
Okay.
Into an up kicker.
Yeah, so pictures are on Spooky's Facebook page or the pin side thread. It's called Domino's Pinball Official Thread. And I think by about page 5.
It is page 5, yes.
You can see them all. So yeah, hop in there. The stuff that's very similar to like America's Most Haunted is the ghost toy and the mechanism with the 3-bank target still there. And they've replaced it with the Noid, which is cool. I love the Noid and his pizza crusher. And that looks good. The rules seem fun, you know, building pizzas and all that well-integrated stuff. But, yeah, yeah. I'm excited to see the animations and stuff. I think they'll be fun.
There's, like, a hurry-up mode. You have to make a pizza as fast as you can, which is kind of cool. I don't know. Yeah, the rules, I don't know if they're listed here, but they were listed on Facebook. I'll put a link to the... thread, the pin side thread in our show notes.
Okay.
But yeah, it looks kind of different, but kind of like if they had made like a flash version. This looks like a real table made out of a flash version of a Domino's game.
Yeah.
That's not a bad thing.
No, I know what you're saying. I know that the ramp on the left is it looks like it's the same ramp from Rob Zombie, which is one of the smoothest, coolest ramps. Like, it's one of those ramps you hit it and you can't hear the ball rolling through it. It's just like really, really smooth. It looks like you get some quick U-turn stuff around the Noid, and then you've obviously got your orbits and stuff. So yeah, it should be fun. I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, there's a short orbit kind of like the one around the trunk on Theater of Magic.
Yep.
Yeah. I think the guy that did the art is the same guy who did Wrath of Olympus, right?
I thought that was the case.
Yeah, looks so great.
High quality stuff.
Glad he's working.
And the Noid rotates. So.
Yeah, the Noid does rotate. I like the cabinet quite a bit. Yeah, can't wait to play it.
Yeah, looks great.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we got the big news out of the way. And I say that because Jeff and I both went to Rocky Mountain Pinball Showdown last week. And we'll probably be hitting back and forth on things we saw. People don't like show reports, but I feel like we have kind of enough news surrounding the show. It's not going to be like, oh, you had to be there to get something out of it or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, anyway. Okay, so we both sold some machines. Do you want to talk about that first?
Yeah, I took my Elvira out there, Elvira and the Party Monsters. I didn't plan on selling it, but I got a good offer on it, and it was, you know, at a good profit. So it was one of those things where... Like, I tend to hold on to my games for a long time, and this is one that I haven't had very long, so I really didn't expect to sell it, but it was just one of those deals where it kind of feels good. Like, the person feels like they're getting a good deal, I feel like I got a good deal on my end, and it just made sense to let it go. So, yeah, I sold my Elvira, but it was fun taking that out. It's the first time I've taken a game to a show and had that experience, and I didn't bring anything else back, but... Now I've made some after-the-show deals that might see me driving back out there to pick up some games. But, yeah, sold my Elvira and the Party Monsters.
Was your wife upset?
Not when I told her what I got for it. She knows Ghostbusters is coming, and that's good.
Yeah.
And we just picked up the Stern Meteor. But her only thing was, she's like, oh, I'm sad I didn't get to play it a whole lot. To where, you know, she felt like she'd kind of mastered the game or anything. But she had fun with it. And, I mean, there used to be a time when I'd have machines come and going weekly. When I first got into the hobby, I was buying stuff and shopping them up. And the collection was growing really fast. And I was running out of space and moving things. And so I think that I'm kind of going into that mode a little bit again. So I think she understood.
Okay. Somebody had asked us what games we kind of skip. Oh, okay. Never mind. I found it. I'll get to that in a minute. Gosh, I feel even more shotgunny because I was just thinking that Juan had mentioned about the Spooky Pinball documentary.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard about that?
I have. And I
meant to mention it when we talked about Domino's.
I heard by listening to the this flipping podcast that Tommy is in it.
Is in it? Yeah, I heard that. Well, unless he got cut out.
Yeah, he thinks he's in it.
He filmed for it at Expo anyway. See, Taylor, we listened to your show.
He's in the rough cut.
Yes. Yeah, and I brought up Game of Thrones, NASCAR, and Wizard of Oz, and the measles had a family emergency, so I brought up their KISS and WWE, and then a couple other guys brought up a Mystery Castle, Circus Voltaire, CSI, and a Getaway, and we rented a truck and put all those games together, which was a huge pain in the ass, but we made it, driving the budget truck up there. anyway, so I ended up selling Wizard of Oz, as you know.
Just in the nick of time. No, I'm just kidding.
No, actually, I put the sale sign on it, and somebody, within 10 minutes, somebody said, hey, if it's still here Sunday, let me know. And then within an hour, somebody else, the guy who ended up buying it, said that he wanted it. So I had it listed for $78, which is already a good price, in my opinion. I paid $65 for it, but then I had to wait 3 years, and then I paid like $300 or $400 for shipping, and then I put some protectors and stuff into it, so maybe $100, $200, and I bought mirror blades for it that I never put in, which is another $100. So I sold it for $73, which is very low, but I just didn't want to take it back, so.
Yeah, but for as long as you had it, it's not like you're taking a bath on it or anything.
No. Yeah, I'm totally cool with it. I wanted 75, but I'm okay with 73. I was happy. And I was very upfront with the LED issues it had. That was the first thing he asked, does it have any issues? And, you know, I told him about that. Yeah, I was honest. He got it home and played for a couple hours, I guess. And then the LEDs did go out, but it had been played all weekend, which impressed me that it survived all weekend, but I was happy to see that. And, you know, I gave him a good deal, so I knew he'd have to do a little bit of elbow grease swapping out boards down the road. Well, I didn't know that, but it wasn't going to surprise me. Anyway, I put them in contact with Jersey Jack support, and hopefully they're getting that worked out.
Yeah, that happens often whenever you buy and transport a machine, though. I mean, I know the LED boards are a little more susceptible, but I mean, I brought the Stern Meteor home and it was dead on arrival. And
yep.
That happens.
Happens a lot. Yeah, hopefully they'll get the ghosts out of there, and they are enjoying it even without some of the LEDs. But I haven't talked to them in about a week now. Really nice couple, and their daughter and son-in-law ended up buying the KISS from the measles. So, I think we took 4 on that.
Okay. Which
is pretty good. It's got, you know, plenty of mods and whatnot, because that was the measles test machine.
Yeah.
But, yeah. It was in very nice shape.
So in the end, did you wait for Wizard of Oz longer or own it for longer?
I waited longer. Well, almost the same amount, but I waited longer, I think. Let's see. Today's June? It's almost exactly the same amount of time. I think it was 2 years, 9 months that I waited, and I had it about 2 years, 9 months. I should do the math. That's pretty funny. Either way, you know, I'm not. It's not going to get played that much with the kids here and all that. Although now that they're older, maybe it would.
Maybe they would now.
Oh well. I did buy an old Chicago, which I think I talked about in the last episode.
Yeah.
It's in nice shape, and I did not put purple LEDs in it, as I alluded to on Instagram.
You did not.
I would not do that. No. Yeah. So it plays great. Yesterday was Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, Jeff.
Thank you.
And, yeah, I spent a lot of time with it. I probably played 30 games just by myself. And I'm really enjoying it.
That's good. Did you get anything pinball related for Father's Day?
No. Oddly enough, my mother gave me a Bill Murray Funko figure from Ghostbusters. And then my kids gave me the same figure. And a Harold Ramis figure. Which is cool.
Yeah.
They're very cool. So that's what I got for Father's Day.
Oh. My wife replaced the ratchet that the TSA took for me.
Oh, good.
When I was flying out to Denver, I thought, hey, I'll be helpful. I'll bring my ratchet with my
your socket wrench, 5/8 yeah.
socket and, you know, help some people take down and put up. And as they go through security, they grab it and they hold up a ruler to it. And they're like, this is 7.5 inches. I was like, right. Okay. And I said, well, if it was 7 inches, I'd let it go through. But at 7.5, I can't. I'm like, what difference does that half inch make on a ratchet? What am I going to do? I understand at some point they have to have a cutoff, but that doesn't seem like a reasonable one. 7.5 versus 7. I got to understand, like, you can't bring a 2 foot long pipe.
Yeah.
But, so stupid. And I'm like, can I at least take the little socket? And like, no, I got to take the whole thing. So they didn't even let me pop off the 5/8 thing. They just took it. Yeah. All right.
That's stupid.
They did give me the option to go back through security, check my bag, and then come through security again. And I was like, sure, I'll miss my flight for a soccer wrench.
$20 soccer wrench.
Yeah. So anyway, that was my pinball-related thing. They replaced that.
I'm glad. I'm sorry you got dinged on it.
Jerks.
Bunch of jerks. Speaking of jerks, Jeff, I feel like I doubly dissed Dan. Dan Nikolich, who is the organizer, show organizer.
You doubled it, dissed him?
Possibly. When he had asked us to do our live show or whatever there, he had mentioned coming on it, and I totally forgot. But then I was thinking, I remembered in hindsight, and he was kind of like hanging out with us before, like right before we went in to do ours.
Yeah.
And I thought he was just like making sure the show was going smooth and whatnot. But maybe he was like getting ready to jump in there with us, and I didn't give him the go ahead or acknowledge.
You cold shouldered him at that point?
I cold shouldered him. So I did not mean to do that, Dan. I'm sorry. But then when we were breaking down, there was this like line of trucks to load up all your stuff, and people were taking forever. There was one group, they're like, oh, we only have 4 games. Can we jump in line? It's like, okay. So they jumped in line, and the 4 games they had were like 3 DDRs and some other, like all those big ass drum machine games, drum manias or whatever. So it took up like a whole trailer. It's like they had 15 games, in other words.
Yeah.
And then they were just standing there. And I was like, you guys done? I kept bugging them, but they were kind of clueless. Anyway.
Excuse me. Cool. I'd like to get by now.
So we were the last truck to load up for the evening, and I had other issues I guess I won't discuss on here. Anyway, so we finally got it all done. It was like 9:30, I guess, and we were all really tired. And I walk in, and the whole room was almost empty, but Dan's there, like, taking the legs off of a game. I was like, hey, do you need help? And he's like, yeah, I'd love some help. And then I looked at Cameron, and we both looked really tired, and I was like, oh, maybe we should grab some dinner, and we'll come back and help. When we went and grabbed dinner and we came back and they were all done. So then I felt like a jerk for not helping.
One time?
I feel like it was a good excuse because we were super tired from loading all the other stuff. But I'm sure Dan was super tired too, so I'm just kind of a dick, and I'm sorry, Dan, I didn't mean to diss you twice.
I know exactly how Dan feels. One time I was going through a drive-thru, and we ordered some shakes, and they said, hey, would you like any lids? When we got to the window, we're like, sure. And she immediately said, we don't have any lids. And that's it.
Yeah, that's exactly what Dan felt like.
Just world
crashed
in on him.
I should send him some lids, yes.
It's the bubble type lids, you know, like they give us Slurpees.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm aware.
Yeah.
Bummer. And then also, what we did for our live show, we got several messages about, hey, are you guys recording it? Are you live streaming it? And no, we couldn't be bothered to do any of that.
It was a Pinball Showdown exclusive.
That's right, you had to be there. And I think like 11 people were there. Which last year we had like 30, and we just did a really bad job, so we only had 11 show up. But this time it was at 4 p.m. Qualifying ended at 6, so
yeah, that,
I think everybody was in the tournament room.
I was nervous. I wanted to duck out and get my entries in.
Yeah, Jeff ended up with a lot of entries unused.
Yeah, that actually, the format was awesome. Actually, I think they should definitely do that again next year.
The tournament format?
Yes. If I hadn't been sick in the morning, I would have been fine. But I think that a lot of people are squeezing in entries, didn't give a rip about any of the talks at that point.
Yeah, which is fine. But what we did was kind of like a bar trivia thing. We had trivia questions, very poorly organized, and everybody, you know, we had enough prizes for a crowd of like 30, 40 people. But since there was only like 10, I think everybody got a pretty decent prize, which is fine. So, yeah, I don't know. If people want to see the questions, I can show them at some point or whatever. But there's categories like Maverick and Worst Games Ever and Rocky Mountain Pinball Showdown. And Martin from Pinball News ended up winning. Out of 24 questions, he got 19 right. So very good.
Just crushed it.
He did crush it. But then I kept Ryan Grant and his son. I think his son's name is Joa, but I kept calling him John because the handwriting on the score sheet wasn't very clear. And I was unfamiliar with the name Joa. I'm probably saying it wrong right now anyway.
It's okay.
That's okay. And they brought their buddy Tim from South Dakota. This is like the shout-out segment of the show, apparently. So the game of the show was actually Ryan's game. His Black Knight Remastered.
Blacker.
The Blackest Knight. Yes. He took a Black Knight and he changed up some of the rules and shots. So like when you plunge, it comes across to the left flipper on the lower play field. And getting it in the scoop up on the upper play field shoots it right out in front of the magna. What's it called? Magna save?
Which you have to earn. You have to earn it. You
don't just get it. It was something else. It was gorgeous. He had a black cabinet with gray and red paint instead of yellow and red paint.
Oh, before I forget, you know what he needs to name that?
No.
None More Black.
None More Black, yes. He and the Spinal Tap guy need to hook up.
Yeah, the None More Black Knight. That'd be perfect.
Yes. It was a gorgeous game. He did an excellent job. And I'm glad he won game of the show.
Definitely.
And their buddy Tim.
That's 2 years in a row.
His name was Tim. Yeah, he won for Barracora last year.
Yeah.
Which was there this year and also looked gorgeous. Hung out with James Hale quite a bit. And it was fun kind of hanging out with him.
As did I.
We grabbed dinner and breakfast. And I'm trying to think if we even played any pinball. I don't recall.
I played quite a bit of the games pinball with him. Yeah.
Cool. Dave Johnson also helped us out. And it was great to see him. I played several games with Adam Jordan, Robert and Jay from Double Danger, and Zach from Tilt Hammer. It was really fun hanging out with those guys. We played some dollar games, including on the Game Exchange Twitch feed. We played a dollar game on Ghostbusters Premium.
Yeah, and you were a jerk and covered the Ecto goggles with a dollar.
Yeah. So, you want to talk about Ghostbusters Premium?
Just for a minute. I mean,
oh, okay.
I don't want to dominate it, but it was the first time seeing a lot of the stuff. And I actually wrote a fairly lengthy write-up on Pinside in that Hobbit versus Ghostbusters thread, but it just made me feel a lot better about the LE I have coming. As far as like differences go, I like the right ramp on both games, so I think that's almost a wash. Like the movement's really cool and how it returns the left flipper, but you lose that like functionality of a clean shot is worth more, which I think is a really cool concept. The left ramp I thought was a lot better on the LE with the how it goes in the subway underneath, comes up. I thought that was a really cool feature. I liked that Slimer moved left to right. I thought that was nice because you could shoot him when he was in safer positions. The Magna slings, the way I said it, that about, 70% of the time, they're just like a normal sling. About 5% of the time, they do something really, really cool, like bounce back and forth a few times or loop backwards to the in lane. About 5% of the time, they'll just throw it hard enough to go directly between the flippers and drop it for a drain. And about the other 20% of the time, they don't fire at all. So it's like, at this point, there's a lot of potential there, and I bet you can adjust it so that the switches are a little bit tighter and they'd fire a lot more reliably. But yeah, about 70% of the time, they were just like a normal, kind of a lower powered sling, I would say. But they did some really cool stuff at times. Like I was impressed a few times with some of the cool things they did, but you had to like light the insert, which I don't know how you did, in order for it to kind of do that crazy stuff. But overall, I totally dig it. I don't know how much time they put into setting it up, but that game played flawless. Didn't have any issues, balls flying around or anything like that. Wasn't jumping guides. I didn't see any, and I played it a lot, and I stood and watched the TV screen a lot. It was cool. Like, I had a lot of fun with it, so excited.
Well, I won't spit in your rose-colored glasses. I'm like Team Pro. I think Pro's the way to go, but I don't think the premium features are bad. None of them blew me away. It's just the price difference. Games are similar enough that I think you'd be fine with the Pro. Not you, but someone who's not you would be fine with the Pro.
Oh, definitely. Like I said, it's not like the difference in AC/DC from Pro to Premium or...
No.
Or it's not like a Game of Thrones where by getting the Premium it actually degrades the experience.
No, not at all. The features are cool, but they're just kind of... The shots are so similar, it's not really adding or subtracting from the game.
Yeah, and that's
It's just gingerbread kind of stuff.
Like I said, the Slimer's cool. It's not huge difference.
But he didn't even seem to move side to side. He just kind of came down into the same spot as the Pro and then went out of the way. I saw him actually move.
I had him blocking, like, going as far as blocking the left ramp to, blocking his own ghost target or the shot up at the middle into the pop. So basically he could block three shots.
Oh, I only ever saw him in the middle.
It was inconsistent. Like, it seemed like it was kind of random. And so sometimes he'd be, like, moving towards the left ramp but stop and move back. So that would minimize his travel. And I think, maybe it's just randomized now, but maybe they'll be a little bit more regular at certain times. Or, again, that's kind of probably the first iteration of Slimer Code.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Izzy wanted to say goodnight.
Okay.
Can you say hi? Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
She can't hear you. Okay, I love you. Have a good night, okay? Yeah, that's very cute. Yeah. We're going to hit that 90-minute mark for sure. I love you. Okay, sorry. Ghostbusters sucks. Yeah.
No, I was going to say I agree with you on the cost difference. Like, there's more to it than, say, the difference between a Metallica Pro up to Metallica Premium. I think Ghostbusters had a little bit more gap, but that 1500's a pretty big jump for a neat effect off the left ramp. It's a neat effect on Slimer, and the Ecto goggles are unless they code some points or something into it, they're just eye candy like the arcade. That's what I said. They're like the arcade on Tron, where if you're looking at the machine like, oh, that's cool, but while you're playing, you just don't notice.
That's a good comparison to make. Yeah, you'd only notice it when it exploded after you shot the ball through to the pop-uppers. Yeah,
like maybe you have the ball cradled and you're going to shoot that shot because it's lit for a mode or something, and then you'll notice.
Yeah.
And then the right ramp, I said, that's a wash. It's really cool how it does that really quick turn and comes back to the left flipper and you can chain it. Like I, at one point I hit it 3 times in a row and that was kind of fun. Mm-hmm. But the right ramp, on the pro, it concedes that it doesn't do that, but they added something to compensate for that. So yeah, I get it. And then Magnus slings, I think that's just going to be a total, like, unless they coat them up a lot, that's just going to be a preference thing. Do you just like the traditional, you know, crazy sling action, or do you like this weird, wacky Magnus sling stuff? And knowing that sometimes you're going to get cheap drains off the Magnus slings, which maybe make up for the fact that it doesn't rocket them to the outlanes so hard. But
yeah, I think David from Game Exchange mentioned that they're actually kind of easier because it's not shooting it.
No, it's like a low powered sling. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I agree. I would say that you go premium if you're just kind of a no concessions type of guy, or if you're a super fan. I've said multiple times on Pinside that I feel like I'm overpaying for what I'm getting, like a real back glass. The exclusive art's cool, and all that, but yeah, like totally pro is you're not conceding much. So
no.
If you can only afford pro, don't feel like you should stretch or sell something to upgrade to premium. It's you're totally fine with pro on this game.
Yeah. Yeah. They both felt really good. They're both very fun.
Yep. They'll both kick your butt.
Yes. And we spent some time with Jason and Adam from Durango, and we actually did a state team tournament. We both played in quite a few tournaments, like the casual ones, and you played in the regular one. But yeah. It was Utah, Colorado, and New Mexico, which New Mexico would have dominated because we're the only ones that showed up on time. But an hour later, after texting the other states, we did have people show up, and we actually did pretty bad. So,
yeah, our best player ate the wrong food the night before, and so he was sick the whole next day, and he didn't even make it to the show the final day. He was pretty bummed out about that. But
I don't think anybody's going to touch Colorado, though. Colorado has so many good players.
Maybe. It's about managing your lineups, though. Like, you just throw your worst against their best and then feed them in the other matchups. The guy that we would have had would have been far and away our best player. So it would have at least made things
a little harder. That still would have been 3 points on one game.
Yeah. I think we got 2 threes, a couple of twos, and a couple – or 2 threes – two ones and a two or something like that. So one of those ones may have been a three. And
we got a three, a two, and 3 ones, I know for sure.
So thanks, Jerry, for lighting up Game of Thrones in our face.
I know. What the hell? We played against Jerry Stellenberg from Multimorphic. Jeff and I did.
You just camped.
And he got, like, what, it's 700 million or something? He's like, yeah, I don't know. I never played it or whatever.
I got everything ready to go. I had wall ready. I had my 2 locks on Blackwater. I had everything ready to go. I go to shoot for the lock, and I just bricked it. And it... No, wait. It came out of the pops. Right as wall was, like, ready, it rolled down the pops, hit that sling, and shot out. That's right. I was pissed. I didn't slap the side of the cabinet, Don.
I don't know. It felt pretty easy for Game of Thrones. It played like mine did.
It did.
Very similar.
That's why I was just playing the setup together. Game. I was just like, I'll just set everything up and then ball three will blow it up. But
yeah, I think I had like relaxed. 300 million. I don't remember. Not a great game.
I don't know. It was fun, though. I thought that was cool. Yeah. They need to do that again. And then next year, just, I think, advertise that a little bit more so that people come expected and ready to play in that. Because the Wyoming guys had people there. They just didn't show up. And
yeah.
South
Dakota.
Fun. Yeah. I bet you four. Yeah, I bet you there's enough from other states if they just are aware of it. So
to make it a big deal. I think Ryan Wanger, I think it's Wanger, not Wagner. Anyway, Ryan ran the tournament for the first time this year, and he did an awesome job.
He did a great
Lots
job.
Lots of variety. There was 3 rookie tournaments. There was Split Flipper, parent-kid. Lots of variety just for trophies. And I thought he did a great job. I did a scorekeeping shift just a volunteered 2-hour. You just keep score on an iPad for the tournament. I don't know anything about tournaments. I'm not interested in any of that, but I had a lot of free time. My family didn't go with me, so I thought it'd be fun just to see that piece of it and help more people volunteer to scorekeep next year, because I think he was stretched a little thin. But it was fun. It was nerve-wracking at first, but all the tournament guys were pretty cool, and, you know, they kind of helped. They were pretty patient. And it was interesting to see the kind of calls you have to make, or not that I made a lot of calls, but Ryan had to. And kind of some of the strategies. You'd see all the strategies the players have firsthand on what game they want to do next and this and that. It was pretty cool. It was interesting. Tim, so you know the guy in the Broncos shirt that we kept mentioning that we didn't know who he was when we did our little talk?
Yeah.
He's sitting off to the left.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So I you know, went up to him later. I was like, hey, you know, thanks for coming to the show or whatever. And I wasn't trying to be a dick or anything. And he said, no, I'm Tim from Measle Mods. Like, he's doing some work for Measle Mods, and we use the Slack app. So, like, we had talked a bit on there. His name's Tim Carrillo. And I didn't put two and two together. It was the same guy. He made the Jurassic Park mod with the doors open, you know, the little gates.
Yeah.
For Jurassic Park. Yeah, he makes that mod. And I had no idea. So I talked to him a little bit, and he seemed like a really nice guy. So just felt like a dick for not knowing that. But
oh well. It's okay. He's over it.
Yeah. I played against Polly, John Burbank, on one of the rookie tournaments, even though he won a tournament last year. He won an EM tournament. And I forget what game we played, but he beat me. I think it was Terminator 2. I think he beat me. I forget. I don't know. I only lasted like 2 or 3 rounds in all those. And when they, in the partners tournament that you and Cameron actually won, Kevin McCarthy was my...
McCarthy,
yeah. He was my partner, and I was like, oh, sorry, dude, because he's a very good player. And we played on Spider-Man, and I got, I want to say, like, 25 million, and he got, like, 150 million. But the guys we played against got, like, 130 million and 60 million.
Yeah, that was our championship match game, and on ball one, I got 143 million. So kind of cruised in the finals, but I had to go through Escher and Zach McCarthy, like the two wonder kids of pinball.
Yeah.
But luckily, the first game was Big Buck Hunter, and I got into like infinity multi-balls on my first ball.
It's because you're better than Elwin.
Better than BTE, better than Escher.
Better than Escher on that game.
At that one moment.
He ended up getting second overall, right?
Yes, Brian
Donovan?
He did.
In the open tournament.
Yeah, it was a pretty tight one there, watching them in the finals. I went in and watched the end of that. The last game was on AC/DC, and Donovan just blew it up.
Yeah. So I said that this was going to be generic talk that anyone could enjoy, but I guess I lied. This is very specific to our show.
Well, let's shift gears for a second. Let's mention some of the oddballs or some of the not typical, hey, I
games
played Video Madness. Yeah, like let's talk about crap like Spectrum.
Spectrum was there. Nice Spectrum.
Very nice. Yeah. Did you play that thing?
I played one game. Or I think I stepped in the middle.
I stepped in because it was on a ball too.
Yeah.
And I played it like for like a half an hour.
Oh.
Very cool game, but very easy to save and not drain out on. But right next to it was that Aftor, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Aftor is fantastic. It was not as nice as the one at Texas, but it was very close. It played great, looked good. I really like that game a lot.
I continue to like Bally Viking a lot, and Zach from Tilt Hammer brought his. So I played that. I had a couple of really good games on it. That's just such a fun game. I wish there was more of them.
It is a cool layout, and I love the logo.
Yeah.
The Viking logo on the back glass is awesome.
Yeah,
I just want a shirt that says that or decal or something.
I just want the game.
Yeah, it's a cool game. There was a Captain Hook there, game playing Captain Hook. I think there's only like 20 of them left.
I guarantee you smiled when you hit the start button on that.
He was setting up right next to us. So I was like, at first I thought it was a custom game because the paint on the cabinet was kind of sloppy and there was no back glass. He left it in Wyoming. So he sent his brother all the way back to get it.
Oh, yeah, because it's like
3-hour round trip.
I had it.
Yeah. But I was very excited to play. And it was pretty fun. You knocked in all the drop targets, and then you hit the red switch to bring them all back. You do that, it lights a bonus, and it lights an extra ball, something else. It was pretty cool. I'm glad he brought it. And he brought an Atlantis, which you still don't see that very often, but I love the art on that one, too.
Yeah, it's a cool game.
It's a cool game, yeah. I think that was Tobias from Wyoming. I don't know if that means anything to anyone, but nice guy. He and his brother.
Yeah. I still tried to like Kiss, and I just can't, Don.
Yeah, no, Kiss still sucks. WWE still sucks. I'm trying to think what else. There's some other cool stuff there. I played a little Donkey Kong Country Returns on the Wii.
Oh, yeah.
When I went to go sit down. Oh, I played that Jew beat?
Yeah.
Not the anti-Semitic one.
Yeah.
It's like
the weird cube.
Some Japanese pop game. It's like every touch screen rhythm game, but as a cube, that you touch cubes. It's okay.
I got Billy Mitchell to take some pictures with me and sign a bottle of his famous hot sauce, which he gave me, which was
cool.
Which was great. Some of the other weird stuff or cool stuff that I played. I played so much, and now it's like coming up. Like that TX Sector was in good shape.
Yeah, hit a subwoofer hooked up to it.
Yeah, it was loud.
That was Robert from Double Danger brought that. Yeah,
that was cool. Man, he hauled.
It's a nice Wheel of Fortune there.
There was like three Wheel of Fortunes. There's a bunch.
Street Fighter 2.
So that was kind of crazy. There was what, three Hobbits, like two Wheel of Fortunes, two Ghostbusters. There was a few games that there was like multiples of, but there was no Attack from Mars. There was like three Medieval Madnesses. But yeah, there was like no Attack from Mars, no Twilight Zone, which are staples. I should have brought my Twilight Zone, but
no Scared Stiff,
no Scared
Stiff. No Tron.
No Tron. No. But
it's okay.
The actual game selection was really, really good though. Mike Brogan's baseball was one of the nicest looking EMs I've ever seen. Like, it was in perfect condition. I don't know if you saw that.
I did not play that one. I saw the Viper, which is not an EM. But I saw Viper. Some guy was playing it the first day, but then it went down and stayed down.
Disappeared.
Which was a bummer, yeah. Yeah. It's got like a cannon in the center of the game, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, overall, it was a cool show as far as games go. The one thing is the Colorado Collectors have very nice games. They're in good shape. Nice playfields. Yeah, clean. This wasn't a widespread problem, but on a couple of games, and this is every show, this is by no means something that was unique. Weak flippers. They're my largest and biggest pet peeve in pinball is a weak flipper at a show. Like, it's just throw some new coil sleeves in there before you come, please.
Oh, yeah, you never know with the power dips. I just kind of chalk it up to that.
I guess that could be part of it, but it's frustrating when certain shots can't be made. But
yes, oh well. I played Rob Zombie with Donovan and Mateo and another guy. And we turned on the adult mode. Don't tell Dan, but we turned on the adult settings. Because the key was in the coin door.
It was after hours when you guys did that.
Yeah, it was late. Yeah, it was around midnight or whatever. I don't know. The callouts you could definitely tell.
I heard adults.
I only saw the nutsack getting cut off once.
Poor you.
I thought it was going to be more.
I was
adult
playing the Hobbit
was.
Right next
Everybody
to you
was
guys.
Hyping it. Yeah, you're right next to us.
I was like, oh, it's saying different things now.
Yes. And I'm sure Nick Baldridge is listening and really wants to hear our hot bingo talk.
I couldn't figure out what to do, Nick. I'm sorry.
Well, I tried several times. The bikini didn't last very long. I played it once early in the show, and then when I went back to it, it was down, and it stayed down the rest of the show. But the gay time, I played several times, and actually played it with a couple of people trying to teach them. You would hit a button to keep adding credits, I guess, to raise your odds and your payout, your features. And you could put it in maybe 15 times before it seemingly topped out. Which I talked to Phil, the owner of the games, later, and he said that it was having an issue where it would kind of top out. It wouldn't take as many credits as it should, something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a 25-hole game, I believe, and it was pretty fun. Like, I figured out how to move the, I guess it's a magic screen around. You really have to pay attention to the back glass. When something lights, it's telling you need to make a move right now, because if you plunge another ball, this opportunity is going to go away. So if you're not paying attention, then you're just plunging five balls and you're done. So I figured out how to buy extra balls, or at least gamble to earn extra balls. I don't know what how the payout works. If it goes by a percentage or something, because you would hit the extra ball button and it would cycle through. And then sometimes you'd hit it pretty quick. Other times I'd hit it like 15 times and nothing would happen. But a couple times I was able to get all eight balls on the table. I don't think I ever got a bingo though. Closest I got was three in a row, and I don't think it paid out.
Doesn't put out as easily as you do, Don.
Well, granted. Phil said he wasn't around most of Saturday, and that's kind of when I was cruising around. So I met up with him more Sunday to talk about the game. But by then, different features just weren't working quite well. It had been played a lot over the weekend, and as bulletproof as he had it, just the little things got out of alignment over the weekend. So
yeah,
left me wanting to play more for sure.
So it was part of his grand plan to spread bingo fever.
Well, Nick's been telling me about these games for, I don't know, 4 or 5 months. He knew they were going to be there.
Yeah,
and I'm really glad that he brought them. It's something different.
It was very cool having them there, yeah.
I think maybe if they put little stickers on the coin door, even numbered 1, 2, 3, so that people know how to kind of start it, and then maybe a post-it note, before ball 4, push this button, before ball 5, push this button, that kind of thing. It might give, if somebody's not there to teach people how to play, it might give them a better idea of what needs to happen, or at least the order. But yeah, I mean, they're really, really nice. They looked like the bikini especially looked like brand new, and the gay time still looked really, really nice.
You gotta love a good bikini.
Love that bikini. Can you hear Isley screaming?
Yeah, but it's
okay.
It's fine.
She's not physically in the room right now. Anyway, Nick, I know a lot more about Old Chicago now than I do about the bingos, but I did have a good time. I'm glad he brought them. I do want to play more.
For sure.
So, the Johnny Appleseed effect is working.
Yeah, and so, you guys took a trailer out there. And yes. We had a trailer. I flew, and Lee...
there it is. I was going to try and go the whole episode without saying his name, just to piss him off.
Well, you didn't say it, still.
Oh, that's true. He said that you didn't give him any shout-outs about the Pinagogo thing. He wasn't even there.
Was he there?
Because you're a dick.
But was he?
I assume, because he said that he was.
Yeah. I'm going to have to look back and see.
That was 2 weeks ago. Who knows?
I owe him money for cart rental on that trip. So if I pretend he didn't actually go, maybe I don't have to ever pay up. He took a trailer, and I had my eyes open if there were any deals or anything, and... didn't see anything, and so I sold my game, which made his return trip a little lighter, because he brought the Elvira out and didn't have to go back with it, which was also part of the motivation for me selling it, is to not have to do that. But after he left, I was talking to people, and I was talking to Mike Brogan, and I was like, oh man, I love your ice review. That's actually been on my wish list for a little while. He's like, really? It's for sale. Are you kidding me? I can't get it home now, because Lee had left maybe 20 minutes
bolted
before this conversation. And then we're standing around during breakdown, and he's got his F-14 that's really nice, which has also been a game I've wanted for a while. And I was teasing him like, oh, yeah, next thing you do is tell me that F-14's for sale. He's like, no, if you want to put an offer on it, it is. I'm like, what? Dang it. like, what's going on here? This is like, you know, later you find out that you had a chance with, like, late 90s Tyra Banks, and you never did anything about it. But then, so.
That's odd.
She was solid.
She's okay.
Yeah. I'm just saying now, because it's been so long, you're like, wait, I did?
It's like early 90s Rosie Perez.
I thought you were going to say O'Donnell there for a second.
Oh, man, I had a dream about Rosie O'Donnell once. I'll never forget it.
Spicy?
It was about the apocalypse, but sure.
Okay. Well, that's good. So, anyway, I've been talking to him, and if I can get out there, I think we got a deal pending that I may buy that ice review that I wanted, as well as this Central Park. So, I talked to Nick about the deal, and it's very much approved by Nick's side, because it's a good deal and they're great looking machines. So
Nick isn't the right litmus test.
Sure he is.
I told Nick about the broke ass Hawaii. He's like, oh, I help you get it working. I'm like, dude, that thing has like 700 reels on it. I'm never gonna
see. But the difference is these machines are already working great.
That's true.
The ice review was in the tournament, so
Nick doesn't want to see any EMs go to waste though.
Nobody wastes a Central Park or a Nice Review, though.
No, like, that's true.
The Attaball
Mike's
version,
games are gorgeous, usually.
Yeah, the Attaball version of Ice Review is like the highest rated EM on
IMDb?
IMDb, yes. It's been in a lot of films. So, yeah, like, I might have to drive back out there now.
So. Speaking of which, there is a Slick Chick for sale in Albuquerque, which at one point was the highest rated EM.
That's a good game.
It is a good game, but the whole cabinet's painted black. I don't know what the hell they're thinking. Why?
I'm thinking Don will buy this and save this machine from.
And they wanted, I think they want $800 for it. It's like, ew.
Yeah.
Ew.
It's a little rough, but yeah, I've gotten into EMs a little bit recently. I've always liked them. But I started like competing on them a little bit more, and rather than just kind of standing to it and just flip, that was really short but kind of neat. I've been invested in actually figuring out what to do on them, and they're a lot of fun. And a lot of them to earn those replays are pretty tough, and that's definitely true of like Ice Review and Central Park. Very challenging games too. Beat, I guess. So
I still have a hard time getting down with 2-inch flippers, man.
It depends on the game. So for me on that,
I've got two games with 2-inch flippers. And, yeah, I guess I like both of them, but a lot of times when I step up to one and play it, I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm just sweeping the ball around.
Yeah. If they're not very strong, it's really rough. But I don't know if they're good and strong and. The angles of the inlanes and stuff let you trap. They're not so bad.
Yes. Long and strong and down to get the friction on.
Yeah, there you go. Innuendo. Yes. But that, and I've also become addicted to a good spinner lately. So.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, there's decent spinners in modern games, but you kind of have to look towards the classics where they really count. You really have to build them up, qualify them, and then a real hammer on them.
Well, it's a big deal. The sound effects. Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, yeah. When you hit a salt. Like, Wizard was in our league night on Saturday. And when you slam that spinner and it's all, you know, ready to go, it's cool. Same with the they had a soccer there. It has two spinners. And you hit it just clean and you hear those things go. So that's what I'm into. Spinners and EMs, Dom.
That's all right. I'm glad we finally got there.
Yeah.
Early in the hobby, I was not into them at all.
Early in the hobby, it was like DMD or nothing.
More ramps, yeah.
Yeah, ramps and multi-ball. But
on a similar topic, Ryan Grant wrote in, I tend to walk right on past DMD Gottliebs in a big lineup. When you attend a show, is there an era of games that you intentionally or unintentionally dismiss?
I used to.
Used to be EMs?
No, I used to play the EMs. It used to be the Gottlieb Premier games. I used to just ignore them. But I now it's the point where I've pretty much played everything on the A list and all of the quote unquote rare games. Now I can legitimately walk up to and enjoy a Raven and say, yeah, that was actually a lot of fun. Like, totally wish I hadn't been ignoring that game for so long. But now these days, it's actually a lot of the A-list games I just walk past. Like, I rarely stop to play Medieval Madness or, I walked past Tales of the Arabian Nights 100 times at Pinball Showdown and never played it. So
I think that, yeah, for me, it's definitely the A-list games. Just the stuff you see all the time, I definitely just blow past. I think the closest I got was Big Buck and Shrek. I played Terminator and World Cup Soccer in the tournaments.
Yeah.
But I didn't play any Medievals or Whitewaters. Adams, I played in the tournament.
That was the finals game in the individual tournament.
One of the rookie tournaments, that was my first game.
Against who?
Against Maya Smith.
Oh. I played in the finals on that against Laura McCarthy.
And oh, yeah. She kicked my ass on T2.
Yeah, I expected to lose. And on ball three when Locke's normally lit?
On Adams?
Yeah. You soft plunge to get a free lock, yes. Essentially.
It kicks it out.
So it didn't lock. So she plunged it, and then she was looking to the shooter lane, getting ready to plunge the next one, and it kicked out on her, and it basically houseballed her. So I don't feel great about winning that way, but I still won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, A-lists.
Oh, and arcade games. Every once in a while, I'll play an arcade game, but hardly ever. They even had, like, Forgotten Worlds, which I love, but...
Yeah, I got a lot to play.
I saw people playing them all weekend, but
at California Extreme, I'll play the arcade games just because there's so many crazy ones that like I've never seen or haven't seen since, you know, there were really big arcades. But
yeah,
same thing. Right. I'm glad they're there though. They add to the ambiance.
Yeah, definitely. We got another question here. This is from Scott Larson. He was haphazardly going through old episodes and we were talking about games were short on rules, big on fun, games your kids would enjoy because they understand them. Jeff was talking about his three-year-old, so this would have been
Lynn Tyson at the time,
a long time ago. Yeah, anyway, he's got a 5, a 3, and a one-year-old. He wants to hear what are some of the games that are short on rules, big on fun. He's looked into Super Mario Brothers, but he has not found one in his area.
Yeah, that one can be tough to come about, and then it's oddly competitive to pick up when
video game nerds like it too.
Yeah.
It's not the best game, but...
I have a three-year-old right now, and...
Got two, so what's up?
Okay, you got two. Attack from Mars, that's not the cheapest option, but...
There you go, bud, yeah.
Every kid loves Attack from Mars. But no, honestly, my kids... really, really like the Bride of Pinbot just because they can flail around and eventually they'll make the head turn. You know, it'll happen, and I'll hear my 3-year-old yell, "It's the head turn," and he gets all into it. I had a Mushroom World, and Tyson liked that one, but that's not something you can really recommend because you just don't come across that game hardly ever for sale. Iron Man's strong one. Tyson and Jason both love that. Just because, again, it's just bash away at stuff, and you'll start something. Like you'll get into Whiplash, or you'll raise the Monger. But their absolute favorite's Tron, and it's same sort of reasons. They can get stuff started by just kind of flailing away.
My kids weren't super into Tron. They do like Metallica. They like when Sparky's eyes pop out on the DMD.
That's funny.
I would say like a lot of kids like EMs. I think it's easier for them to follow the ball. My kids play 4 million BC more than anything. And that's like, it always kicks out two balls. They just love seeing the balls do stuff. And I've seen a lot of kids that are into EMs.
Yeah, I think the OXO, I had that. That was something that worked for him.
I think something like a Silver Ball Mania, Nitro Ground Shaker, Fireball, kind of like those early 80s games where like the shots are real obvious. That might work. That might be fun. I don't think you need to go DMD. The kids loved Hurricane.
That's a cheap one. My kids liked the Hurricane I had.
You see those all the time. Yeah. And for a DMD game, they're usually real cheap.
Yep.
I mean, something like a World Cup Soccer seems like an easy answer, but I just think it's too difficult for those ages to put something together anyway.
Honestly, it's not. They don't necessarily need to ever advance through the rules. They just need to have some sort of accessible interactivity, if that makes sense, right?
Get something like, with some long shots where the ball has to really travel around something cool and come back to you.
Yeah.
Not where it's going to be hidden a lot of the time. Like Twilight Zone, the ball's hidden half the time.
Yeah.
Whether in scoops or, you know.
My kids love AC/DC, but again, those are pretty expensive options.
Yeah. For a point of entry, I think Super Mario Bros. Is probably the right ballpark. Something like a Water World, Stargate, maybe. Stargate might be kind of hard. But Big Hurt. Don't touch my gladiators. Arena. some of that stuff might be fine. Some of those Gottlieb games where the kids don't care.
Yeah. That's a good entry point.
Yeah. You don't want to break the bank, but you do want to get their interest going.
My younger nephews and kids, they loved the Data East Simpsons.
There you go.
Just because it was Simpsons. And there's probably a ton of Data East games in that era that would...
Yeah, Jurassic pleasers. Park.
Jurassic Park is definitely a winner. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Star Wars.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Scott, for listening to even two old episodes. Oh, I forgot to mention on Twitter, the Pyrocast. Let me look at those guys. Anyway, they were talking about we should do Metallica as a feature machine. I was like, well, we did it a long time ago. It was episode 20 or 22. I'm trying to pull their thing. It's a Pyro Podcast on Twitter. And so I told them about that episode. So I went back and listened to that episode. And it was actually a good episode. I was proud of us. Episode 22. But that was before the code updates. It had only been out for like 3 or 4 months at that point.
Much better game now.
Yeah. That was, I think, in 2013 we recorded that episode.
Yeesh.
So, yeah, we'll probably revisit it at some point. But anyway, thanks for listening, guys. Joe Zinkus wrote in, excuse me, what's the average percentage of lateness between what Stern distributors tell you, the delivery date, and the actual delivery date? Average percentage? I don't
know. Well, it's been 7 to 10 days since the last 7 to 10 days statement, which was 7 to 10 days from the previous statement.
It's been 7 to 10 days for 7 to 10 weeks.
Yeah, that's about right. something must be wrong. Like,
yes.
It's not just Ghostbusters. It's everything. There's that thread on Pinside that's like, what machine did you bring home today? Like, post-picks. If you go in there, they're all used games. Like, nobody's unboxing anything right now. There's the occasional Jersey Jack unboxing, the occasional, Full Throttle or whatever, but... If anyone's unboxing something from Stern right now, it's like build date April or earlier. It's either stuff that was in stock or it's a very, very slow trickle coming out of Stern. Like, there's something wrong. And a lot of people are thinking it's the playfields and the ghosted inserts. And people have talked about how Stern's switching from Churchill over to Fun Industries for playfield production and whatever. But something's bad because... There are individual distributors who are like just hundreds and hundreds of games backordered. And it's pretty rough. But the problem is that if you contact Stern, they say, talk to your distributor. They have the most up-to-date info. Well, people call their distributor and they say, well, Stern hasn't told us anything. And so, like, I don't know what you do at that point. Like, you have people who've got games paid in full. And then if they call a distributor, the distributor's like, man, I don't know. They keep telling me 7 to 10 days. They expect games to ship. But that's obviously, like, Stern knows it's not 7 to 10 days. Like, it's been months now that these delays have been piling up. So there's just, like, a bad line of communication. I get the idea of talk to a distributor. I mean, that's how it should work. But they need to talk to the distributor themselves, too. Like, Stern's got to say, at some point, they say, yeah, there's a back order on the line. We're working on some things for quality reasons. Games will start coming out as soon as we feel quality's up to snuff. Like, just give us the statement.
They don't ever do that. It's Stern.
I know, but it's crazy.
Stern doesn't say anything unless it's sunshine and rainbows.
Yeah, it's crazy. I've seen more than one person, and now, you know, it could just be people being forum people, but more than a few people, actually, that have canceled their orders. Like, they got sick of waiting for Game of Thrones. Okay. They got sick of waiting for the Metallica, and they're like, I just went and bought a used one instead, or I bought a used
this or that. Yeah, we're beating a dead horse now.
So, it's just like, they should say something, though.
Yes. Stern, work on the marketing still.
That's not even marketing, it's just communication.
Yes, this is going to be a 2-hour episode if we talk about.
Nope, that's all I had to say about it.
Okay, good. Daniel wrote in, keep Flip Part Out. Games that were never released edition: Ghostbusters LE, Predator, or Magic Girl.
I'm not going to play your stupid game, Daniel. that was funny, though.
And he also said, who takes longer to deliver on LE games, Stern or JJP? Yeah, obviously Jersey Jack takes forever. Stern, even if it's 3 months, it's 3 months. Oh, by the way, if you're waiting on any Stern, even like a Ghostbusters, just wait. Like, it's fine. If you don't have to buy the newest game right away, they'll still make it for a while. And you want them to get those bugs out on somebody else's game. Let somebody else's game be the guinea pig. You just hold tight until the bugs are worked out, then buy a game. It sucks with the LEs. There's nothing you can do. But if you're waiting on a pro, just wait a little while. You can suck it up, guys.
I like on AC/DC, I'm so glad I waited till the big second wave of premiums, because then I don't have the cloudy lower playfield.
Yeah, ghosting inserts or whatever.
I've seen those cloudy lower playfields, and it's brutal. But
the drop targets on Metallica were a mess for forever.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. But, yeah, real funny, Daniel. And you know what? He's been waiting on legs on his Iron Man. When he got his Iron Man,
they didn't ship him enough legs.
He's got two legs.
And it's been the two-leg edition.
Like a month now, and he still doesn't have his other two legs? Like, it's crazy. You think that would be like an overnighted priority, like, get this man two pinball legs.
Just put them on opposite corners. It'll be fine.
That's how I said. Put one front left, one front back right, and just play carefully.
Yes. All right. So John Costin, he asked if we're going to do America's Most Haunted one day. I would love to.
Yeah.
We'll get somebody on who knows the game real well. And yeah.
And I've played enough. I'm actually comfortable talking about the shots, but it'd be nice to someone who really knew the rules well.
Yes. Mitchell Curtis wrote in, keep Flip Part Out, Espionage Edition, Bally Matahari, Stern Austin Powers, Sega GoldenEye.
I'm keeping the Matahari, flipping the GoldenEye, and I'm parting out the Austin Powers.
I won't even part it out. I'll straight up just burn Austin Powers alive.
Oh,
but same thing. Matahari's the superior game there.
Yeah.
GoldenEye's okay.
Yeah, not bad. I just really like Matahari.
Yeah, Matahari's great. James Hill wrote in, keep Flip Part Out, America's Most Haunted, Spook Show International, and Domino's.
That's tough. Just based on I enjoyed Rob Zombie and I enjoy America's Most Haunted, but like, if I was to stick one of those three games in my lineup, I'd probably pick the Domino's.
Me
Is that
too.
Weird?
No, so I agree.
I'd keep the Domino's.
It looks fun.
Yeah, I'd probably.
I like
flip
the theme.
Flip the Most Haunted. There's not a lot of them out there, so might as well give it to someone who really, really wants it. And part out the Spook Show International to keep some of the art. And, you know, that's how I'd go.
Yeah. I was listening to the Skillshot Pincast, and they did the same segment there. But they, instead of just parting it out, it was what was it? Marry, kill, flip, or something. I forget how they called it. But not only would the game, would you destroy one game, you destroy all of the games.
Oh, that's
They would
brutal.
All be gone forever. And for the flip game, you can only play it one time.
Okay. That's like Sophie's Choice in pinball.
I would still burn all the Austin Powers.
Yeah, that one wasn't hard.
Yes. On this one, though, burning all the Rob Zombies, that would be...
That's brutal. Criminal. Yeah.
Okay.
Is that
so that was
questions?
The speed round, huh?
Is that all our questions?
I think so.
So, I actually, someone PM'd me on Pinside and said, we've probably mentioned this several times before, but I'm not going to make anyone dig through old episodes. They just wanted to know how we got to the point to where we were able to build up larger collections and to get the games we wanted, not just the games that are available. And this is going to be the most depressing answer. Is like, if I got into the hobby today, I wouldn't be able to do this. Like,
no way, man.
Two things. I got in the hobby when you could buy, you know, an Attack from Mars for $3,500. And
that was insane.
Yeah. And also, my wife worked at the time. We had no kids. So it was dual income. So if I wanted to buy a game, I just bought a game. I didn't have to worry about it. And, there were so many more project games available at that time that weren't blown out. Like, you could get just a really dirty game, clean it up, and if you decided you didn't like it that much, it was easy to resell them at, you know, a $300-$400 gain. And then there was another 10 project machines available for you. I mean, I got my taxi for $300. I sold it for close to $2,000. It was just stuff like that. Now project games are like totally blown out. You have to buy a repro playfield and restore it essentially just because that stuff's dried up. But sorry that that's the answer. The answer is you used to be able to afford whatever you wanted to buy. I mean, I got a $1,700 Twilight Zone. It's just how it was. And dual income, no kids. Like, it's sorry.
Like, that's kind of the same. I kind of blame Pinside quite a bit.
But yes, Pinside exposed a lot of the... ease of that stuff.
It not only grew the community, but it also helped searches quite a bit.
Yeah.
Once somebody found Pinside, they could find the prices. And Pinside prices always seem high, their estimated prices.
Yeah, they almost that bumped up everything.
Plus, there's a bunch of idiots paying crazy money for okay or bad games, or even good games. They're paying even more money. Whereas back then, three grand for an AFM, I was like, holy shit, I'm never owning one of those. That's $3,000 is insane.
Now it's $8,000.
Well, and that's nothing. $3,000 is nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, now that's like
it's crazy.
Cue ball wizard, you know?
I would say the best thing you can do is you can be aggressive and try and find games, fix them up. I think being able to do your own repairs and buying project games and fixing them is huge. I bought a lot of project games between, I don't know, $200 and $1,000 and then sold them for... $3,000, $4,000. Not to buying them to sell them. I bought them to play them.
And then
just
the market
after a while. After a while, it just wasn't worth it. And then I had the kids and whatnot. Yeah. You start small. I mean, my first game was a $100 EM. My second game, I think, was Roadshow, which was $1,600. And once we paid that, we're like, oh, we'll never need to buy another game again. We have a really nice game now. But then the third game was like, you know, then we found a $400 Whirlwind that was in rough shape. And they just kept building into each other.
Yeah.
You really can kind of. And if you get good at repairs, you can start doing repairs for other people. Put that money in your pinball fund. For me, it was all about repairs. If I couldn't fix a game, I don't even know if I'd own one game. Nevertheless,
yeah.
You know, 40 or 50 over the past 8 or 9 years.
Yeah. And don't feel like you have to start out with the A-list row of pinball machines.
No. Start small.
Yeah.
If you can't get comfortable fixing a $400 machine, how comfortable are you going to be on an $8,000 machine?
Yeah, like I bought Hurricane Dr. Dude and Bride of Pinbot in a 3-game deal for, I think it was like $1,200, $1,400. It was something like that for all 3 games. And like that doesn't even buy you a third of an A-list game. But I was able to clean all those games up. Still have the Bride of Pinbot because I love it. But the other two, I sold those, and they funded the majority of my Indiana Jones, for example, which when I sold, funded my Spider-Man and Attack from Mars. I mean, it's just, that's how it worked. I've been doing it for 10 years, so it's taken a long time to get here. And now I don't move my games very often, so I'm not taking big losses on them. If you flip often, unless you're patient in getting a game for what you want and selling it for what you want, you can lose quite a bit in those deals. So just be patient. That's the biggest thing.
Yep. And if you're honest, you'll definitely stand a chance to lose money.
Yes.
If you're a dirty person, then yeah, you can say, oh yeah, this game works great, blah, blah, blah. Sell it for a lot more.
Yeah.
Have a bunch of hack wiring in it or whatever. Screw somebody.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to walk away from a deal. Like there's a couple times where I was eager to buy a game. I bought it, and then within days or even like a week or so after I paid maybe a little bit too much for a game, the same thing got listed for $300 or $400 less. Like, if I just waited.
Well, yeah, there's that. And then you're kind of itching to get rid of it too. I've been in that position, like, oh no, I'm in it too much. I just want to get out while I still can, kind of thing.
Yeah. So sorry. That's probably not the best answer that you should have got in 10 years ago, but.
Well, no. But another thing is, once people know you're into pinball, they'll kind of come out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
We said that before. Other podcasts say that. So once you're, you know, telling your coworkers at work, oh, I bought this $200 pinball machine, or oh, now I got three pinball machines or something, then they're like, oh, my uncle's got one. And either he needs work on it, or the uncle will say, well, you're going to charge me $200 to fix it. Why don't you just give me $400 and take it?
Yeah. A lot of people say, like, oh, we have one in our cabin. We haven't played it for years, though. And
Yeah.
A lot of stuff like that comes up.
Yep.
And be nice to everybody. That's often a key to getting a deal. Be nice to everybody.
Yeah, don't get pushed around. But
yeah,
you're gonna make mistakes. And like I was saying about fixing a $400 machine, make mistakes on a cheap machine that they made thousands of, instead of making dumb soldering mistakes on a brand new AC/DC or something.
True. So hopefully that helps, but hang in there, man. It takes time, but we'll get there.
Yep. All right. Are we good?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. Rocky Mountain was great. Go check it out next year. A lot of fun.
I agree.
They're working to not have it be the same weekend as Southern Fried, which spread vendors and guests a little thin. They had to pick between the two.
Yeah.
Just kind of bad timing. Nobody's fault, really. It just kind of happened.
Yeah.
Is my understanding. So.
Couple of special shout outs. One, the McCarthys for bringing 29 games.
Yeah,
one family,
crazy.
Guys. 29 games. Game Exchange, you know, JJ from Game Exchange
brought
30
games.
Yeah. 30 games. That's insane. And
that's half
a lot
the show
of
right there between those two guys.
I mean, that is, guys, like during breakdown, I was just watching, you know, the McCarthys and JJ's crew do their thing. And it's crazy how much of the floor they represented. And so, big thanks to them.
Well, the four of us broke down eight machines, and it took us a couple hours.
Yeah, and everyone was like sweaty and grumpy at the end. So they were there doing that for hours, and that was like big time appreciation for that. Double Danger and Tilt Hammer for coming out with loads of stuff and being cool and being on the floor constantly. You know, they had their little crappy snacks to stay on the floor instead of shutting down. It was really cool. The people that supported the show did so fully. Like, nobody, like, half-heartedly went into it. And you could tell. It was a good show. So.
Yeah. Dan and Holly did an awesome job.
Yes.
So,
John
thanks
Trudeau
for inviting us. John Trudeau was there, yeah.
Super nice. I was, like, really excited to meet him. I'd never met him in person. We're Facebook friends and whatever. But to sit and talk to him, like, to feel his enthusiasm for the hobby and for the people in the hobby, that was cool. He was telling me about shows that I need to get out to. And, you know, Billy Mitchell was actually a very cool guy. Ben Heck, he hung out quite a bit and was a fun guy to hang out with. And there was a lot of people to show that really made it great. So be back next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
maybe
hopefully,
with games.
Maybe. Maybe with games?
Maybe. That was an experience that I'm sure you're not ready to do right away again.
Right now, it feels okay. Like, oh, that wasn't so bad. But at the time, I was like, freaking hell, we got all this shit. Nobody's helping us freaking do this or that. And it was very stressful leading up to it.
Yeah.
But
well, it was nice having those games there. You guys brought some nice stuff. So
yeah, we're basically the best people.
you're so wonderful.
We're great. Yes.
It's the McCarthys. It's Game Exchange. It's Duke City Pinball.
Yes. So. Oh, and Dave, I just forgot his name, from Four Music Only.
Oh, yeah.
How did I forget his name?
Well, he probably goes by Dave from Four Music Only a lot.
Sure. Anyway, he helped me out when NASCAR broke down with some screws. That was really cool. Dave Mercer. Dave Mercer. Yeah,
and he was donating some parts to Lee's game, so he was a cool guy.
By force, yeah. And Lee was a lot of fun to hang out with.
Lee's
probably
it.
Not still listening, but thank you for the great game. I'm really enjoying it.
That's fantastic old Chicago.
Yes, that is a really nice old Chicago. I really want to paint the cabinet, but that's about it.
All black?
Yes, and thanks to the Pinball Bulbs guy for letting us be dicks to Nifty LED.
Through him, yeah.
Yes. Speaking of Nifty LED, check out Ulek Store, ulekstore.com. Use coupon code PINBALLPODCAST through the end of this month for 20% off. And MezelMods.com, MezelMods.com. Use coupon code MOD, MAUDE, MOD, like the TV show, for 15% off on MezelMods products.
I ordered from them, and I wrote in special instructions. I bought the Ghostbusters art blades. And I said, please don't let Tim get his Cheeto dust fingers on the art blades. And yes. So I don't know if you saw on their Instagram account, they wrote Cheeto free packing. Yeah, that's what that's from.
Free to be Cheeto free.
So they do read special instructions, and they have a good sense of humor. Which is good, because everybody gives Tim all sorts of crap.
Well, deservedly so.
Oh, yeah, he deserves it.
Yes.
Kristen is a very patient person.
Kristen is a saint.
Yeah, Saint Kristen.
You can always check us out on thepinballpodcast.com. That's where we put our show notes. Email us, pinballpodcast@gmail.com. Check us out on Google+, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. We are Pinball Podcast.
Butts.
And butts. Yeah, you can see butts.
That's what Snapchat's for, yeah.
I haven't been Snapchatting very much. I don't really know what to take pictures of.
It's the stuff that doesn't, it's not fit for Facebook or Instagram. It's like, well, this is really dumb. So,
well, I put that, but then you can see the snappers dropping off. I don't know. We don't have that many Snapchat followers anyway. I don't know how many. I still don't really understand Snapchat. We need to get on Yubel or Elo.
Periscope.
Yeah, I'm not periscoping anything.
Vine.
There's something I was going to say about... Oh, friggin' Buffalo Pinball got a damn Vector. Those assholes. And the friggin'... After Preston got a Vector over Gaming Junkies. What's with every pinball podcast getting a damn Vector except us? I've been asking for one for, 5 years now? The hell?
Now it's very clear you want one.
Bunch of dicks.
So, F those guys and that's a show, right?
I kind of have that Woz money burning a hole in my pocket.
Get a Hobbit.
That Full Throttle was looking very tempting. There's no way in hell I'm getting a Hobbit.
Don't get a Full Throttle. It's a good game to play at shows.
I know, Jeff, I know. I should buy a
$3,500
Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Scorgasm. That's the answer.
$2,000, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Yep.
Short show. Love you, bye.
Bye.